everybody. I'm just going to briefly introduce Paige to you. I did a little bit of research on Paige, and there's too much to mention it in the 1 minute I have. So just a quick background. Paige is an expert on sports nutrition and eating disorders, particularly working with elite athletes in that aspect. In 1992, she founded the NutriFit Sports Therapy Company. It's a company of professionals dedicated to helping clients reach their wellness goals through performance eating. Her past and current clients include the ATP and the WTA tours, and she served as a nutrition consultant during the 92, 96, 2000, and 2004 Olympic Games. She played Division I college tennis at Baylor and still plays competitive tennis all year round. Paige Love.
Thank you.
Should be coming. I have a little packet for everybody, and there's a separate handout from the WTA that I put together on travel, so you'll be getting two different little things from me. I'm going to jump in because I have a lot of info to cover, and I'm excited about this topic because it's been a focus of the WTA in the last year to get more of this practical information out to players. And as I travel on the tour on site, these kind of issues are the crux of what I'm dealing with. Athletes who are fatigued because of travel, GI issues, respiratory infections, and then the nutrition piece that will support that to help keep them at their top performance. So just a few issues that I'll be hitting on today. I'm not going to do a ton on technical sport nutrition. This is going to be very practical. In fact, I brought a shopping bag of a lot of travel foods that I encourage players to keep. One of the pieces that you all have is my newsletter, and one of the highlighted components of my newsletter is how to pack a cooler if you're going to like a local tournament, things that you want to keep on hand for carbohydrates, for hydration sources, for sport foods. So that obviously relates to the nutrition piece of this. I'm going to hit on hydration briefly, what the WTA does to help keep the athlete's immune system pumped up, and just a little bit about other issues that affect athletes with travel. So the challenges of traveling, obviously the disrupting of the normal daily pattern, potentially changing climate, jet lag issues I'll touch on briefly from a nutritional hydration perspective, the food availability. I had an opportunity last year to travel to China, and I was just amazed at how difficult it was to eat there, and even the number one player in the world struggled with her eating and her tummy issues, and so I was just kind of like the go-to, my tummy hurts, what do I do? And the food wasn't feeling good in their system, so it immediately affected their energy, their hydration, their performance, so doing a lot with that. Reliance on the hotels and the different type of foods. The restaurants, one of my jobs is also to prepare the tournaments for the players and review the menus, the food service that the players are being offered. Obviously with local tournaments, we don't have that typically being done, so it's up to the coach or the parent or the trainer to get that athlete ready and get them prepared and having them travel with a lot of the key things that they need to. Obviously dining out, we're going to hit on some very practical pieces with that, and one of the things that I have for you too is just a two-pager on healthy dining out. Feel free to copy these handouts that I'm giving for your players. And one other piece I'll share, if anybody's interested in more of this, I developed a 50-module handout kit for coaches and trainers to use with players, and you're getting a couple of the pieces out of that today, but if you're interested in more of the topics, the whole list of topics is on the back page of the yellow stapled packet for you. And please just contact me and let me know what you're interested in. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how to handle these GI illnesses and also upper respiratory infections that tend to be on the rise when athletes travel, particularly international travel. So planning ahead is key, getting the athlete used, the tennis player used to planning ahead, knowing what foods they need to travel for. Sometimes that does fall on the trainer or coach, but I think it's up to the athlete to be up to speed on this too, because when I'm in the training room with the top WTA players and who have whole teams of people working with me, I'm still amazed at how little things they have with them and how much they depend on, for example, the WTA sport medicine staff to provide some of this. So I think we need to put a little bit more on the player to take responsibility and to know what they're doing and be on the lookout for what feels good in their system way before it's peak performance time. Again, we're going to talk about food safety and GI issues that can be prevented by more appropriate food safety and planning for safe water, and just how to stay on the performance plan when you are traveling. All right, so obviously when athletes are traveling long distances, they are going to be in new environments, their eating and sleeping patterns are going to be falling, being affected. We're going to hit on jet lag. And then on the back end, just the stress part of this, the athlete kind of keep up with it, the school age athlete keep up with their homework and their tests and just that added level of stress, the additional wake up time that causes an increased caloric needs as well. So again, kind of thinking ahead, what is the athlete going to be needing to prepare for? What type of travel? Do we need to look ahead, find out what the tournament menus are? You all as coaches, if it's a pretty well-organized tournament and on-site food surfaces being made available, you can probably get a copy of the menu. I'm provided a copy of the menu months in advance at bigger tournaments, so I know that you all could probably ask for that, a printed copy, and be able to review the menu. Particularly one of the things I'll hit on today is gluten-free dining. How many of you have athletes who need to be eating gluten-free or allergy issues, need dairy alternatives? I'm going to hit on both of those issues today, too. Does the tournament provide an option? At the international level, most tournaments are providing a gluten-free option at every meal. But at a local level, that may not be the case. It may just be a white bread, a wheat bread type option. And are there other options close by here in a small city? So contacting the people that are doing the food service, finding out what restaurants are in that area that would have options for the athlete that would meet those special needs. And this is just a little bit about what we do. I do this for both ATP and WTA, where I review the menus ahead of time, reviewed the US Open menus a couple years ago, and really what they have to offer the athletes is unbelievable. They have every possible need being met, from sport food to type of food. It's quite an amazing food service cafeteria that the athletes have, but we review these kind of things on a yearly basis, add in new sport foods that are popular, that are proven to be helpful for performance, safe for performance, and then we also obviously add in things that are currently more on the rise, like the gluten-free or the almond milks or the different products out there that athletes are asking for. All right, and then again, researching ahead, getting that athlete ready for the trip. You know, medically, are they ready to go? If you're going out of the country, are the vaccinations up to date? I don't know, the coaches are always thinking about that kind of thing. Getting to your destination early so that you're able to adjust, making sure you're bringing plenty of hydrating beverages with you. We'll talk a lot about that as we get into the presentation. Getting in extra sleep. Obviously, on the day of travel, athletes often get thrown off. They have maybe altered sleep patterns because of the extended travel time. So getting sleep on the front end to prepare for that. And then where I come into play a lot is helping the athlete plan that packing list, what that packing list going to look like. And I know we're on a tight time schedule. If we're not going to have time for me to hold up a lot of what I brought it in a grocery bag. I'll be in the back. If anybody wants to see my portable little grocery bag, I'll have a lot of my stuff to show you, because I think, particularly in the States, we have a lot of cool individually packaged portion kind of things that athletes can be traveling with that are shelf-stable, easy to throw into your suitcase. One of my favorite products, and I actually was going to have samples of it in here in time to bring some samples for you all, is Go Picnics. How many of you have heard of Go Picnics? Anybody seen these before? They're little travel meals in a box. And they're all shelf-stable. They usually have two protein sources, two grains, one fruit, sometimes a little sweet, but very portion-controlled. You can find them on Amazon. You can order the whole variety on Amazon. Supertarget's the only place in the U.S. that carries these right now as far as a store. And they have the meal boxes and snack boxes. So they stay pretty together and the items don't crush. So a lot of grains will get crushed when you're traveling. These don't get crushed because they're in the sturdy box. And they have a game inside for the athlete to play when they open it up. All right, a little bit about jet lag. Obviously, again, preparing your body, getting that extra rest, hydrating well. When they're in the plane, and I don't want to steal Donovan's speech, but I think there's a couple things in here that he may hit on. Just the idea of making sure that you're de-stressing, that you're moving your body while you're in flight, you're wearing comfortable clothes, that you may want to bring your own pillow to help yourself sleep well. High carbohydrate, high water intake, high salt intake are all recommended in flight to help the body stay hydrated and to minimize jet lag on the back end, because it helps the fluid stay in the system when you consume the salt here. foods and beverages, and you might think, oh, that's going to make me bloated, but when we're at higher altitudes, we lose fluids more quickly through respiration, and we will become dehydrated if we don't super pack the body with extra fluids. So fluids, salt, and obviously packing in the carbohydrates to get that body ready for performance when the athlete is landing. And the carbohydrates also help the athlete hold fluid in the system too. And just a little bit more about that, the dark to light cycle. And I'm going to share one research study that's come out of Australia a little bit later on, talking about there's evidence now that when athletes travel over more time zones, there's worse jet lag than we would expect, more difficulty recovering, performance deficits that are being shown. So again, this piece of it is so crucial for the athlete to stay well-rested, well-hydrated, making sure that they're on track with their diet, that they're not taking any food, any foods that potentially could create GI illness. And again, back to my China example, the number one and number two seeds last year lost in the first round because they had this issue happen. And these are the top players in the world. So it goes all the way up the ranks. That athletes really need to be on top of this. All right, and then just other challenges. We're going to hit on the diet piece of this, food safety, hydration, and then just your timing being thrown off with not feeling hungry when you're on the different time zones. So another important recommendation is that you adjust to the time zone of the new location the moment you start your travel, so that you're on that time clock, you set your watch, you're already kind of coordinating your body to that time with that new meal schedule. This is what my suitcase looked like going to China last year. The WTA actually had me bring two suitcases full of food, and I still ran out of food for the girls. I felt like I was their main food supplier. So finding out what works for you ahead of time, what works for your athletes ahead of time, this is a lot of what I've got up here, a lot of these little portable shelf-stable foods, taking a lot of grains, a lot of dried fruits, portable meats like tuna and peanut butter. You've got a cooler packing list that's on my newsletter that's got a nice listing of a lot of things that you can also travel with for airline travel. So you may have to have a whole separate bag as a coach for your player of foods if you're going away for a significant period of time to play out of the country. These are just some examples of things you might want to keep in mind. A lot of this is on the cooler list, but the breakfast cereals, dry noodles. For somebody that's going gluten-free, maybe they need to bring gluten-free noodles that they can heat up. Your sports drink powders, whatever your sport foods are that you have, those in portable sachets and forms. Dried goods that are snack type things that are in individual portions. I recommend a lot these little nut packs, the blue, diamond, and emerald nut packs. These are great for athletes to take on the plane. Also the little fruit leathers. And now Whole Foods has these really cool fruit veggie leathers because a common food group area that athletes will fall short when they're traveling is vegetables. And so these are fruit vegetable combined into a leather. They're called Veggie Goes. And so the one I'm holding up is berries and spinach. So that's kind of cool. And then the other thing are these fruit veggie squeezes, and they come in just fruit or vegetable too, but these are very popular. We think of these for babies, but they work well for adults too. And these travel well, so something like that would be also portable and easy to take on a trip, pack in a suitcase. Things like prunes to help with regularity. Another common thing that happens when athletes travel is because their bodies get dehydrated, they get constipated. So we want to help them move things along. So with the hydration and the dried fruit to help do that. And then here's my good pick tips. Just love these things. And the portions are really helpful too for weight management. For a lot of our athletes, these are not going to fully meet their energy needs, but they will provide a pretty good dense snack that can hold them over until they could get another meal. I found them personally super helpful when you're doing international travel and you're on a flight and can't get access to the kind of food that you want, and that's a good portable mini meal, particularly when the timing may be different than what you're ready to eat when the food's being provided on the plane. You have this as a backup choice. And they accommodate vegetarian issues with the different nut butters, hummuses, edamame, bean dip. They do have one with tuna. They do have some with turkey, jerky, that kind of thing. So they have both vegetarian and non-vegetarian options. And the majority of them are gluten-free automatically. They've gone ahead and accommodated that. The original purpose of these was to be gluten-free snacks for kids that were struggling to have lunches at school. And then it's become a pretty big business for travel. And actually, airports have these. Has anybody seen these in the airport? I'm seeing them now in the different airports that you can buy in there. A couple of other things that are good on the go. I like now the wheat peanut butter crackers that Lance makes. Crave snacks, the almond butter, little packets that are individual. They come with pretzels as well now. And then the pea-free snacks. Now these do need to stay refrigerated, but they're good for the day of travel, so that would be good for a local tournament. And those have cheese, nut, and lunch and wheat. So they have three proteins. That's the pea-free. And then just a few other things. I love the Bare Naked trail mixes, the mini cliff bars, the Sabra hummus kits, of course, energy bars. Lara Bar's come up with their own little trail mix. So Bare Naked and Lara Bar have some great little portable, healthy trail mixes in small portions. Again, with athletes who have weight management issues, a lot of this is portion control, so it's very practical and helps to help the athlete to stay on track and not overdo. All right, and then obviously the time zone issue is key. You want to set that body to that time clock right away for the new location. And then the hydration issue on the plane. So watching out for things that would work against that. So caffeine and alcohol obviously are not a great idea. Good rule of thumb is drinking 1 cup of water per hour. Also, even considering sport beverages on the plane, having the athlete carry their sachet of sport beverage with them, consuming salty snacks. Tomato juice is available on planes. That's a great beverage. That's a great beverage for athletes in general because of the sweat losses off the plane too. Pretzels and crackers. So most of this the plane would have, but then having the athlete's individual preferred snacks with them and just pumping the fluid. Again, at the top of the game, I'm finding this hydration issue is still lacking. One of the main things I ask athletes as I'm going over their diet is, what is your off-court fluid intake on a trip of day? What is it on a travel day? And we're really wanting these athletes minimally to be consuming a good 3 to 4 liters, and I would say they're averaging, at the top of the game, 1 to 2 liters. And this is really just something that they should be on top of. And any decaffeinated beverage can count towards your hydrating source. I think they get overwhelmed when they think about off-court water having to be so much, and it doesn't have to be just water. It can be a lot of different things. And I have a slide coming up that will give you a review of that. And then just in general, the plane pitfalls, watching out for snacking out of boredom or just eating whatever is given to you. Inquiring about special meals ahead of time. A coach may have to prompt an athlete to do that. Bringing those extra snacks, adapting your sleep right away as well as the food to minimize that jet lag side effect. And then, again, things packed for the plane. I think I've hit on this. Just making a homemade sandwich, take it with you so you have something that you're feeling good about and comfortable with, and that's fine to bring on a plane. The three veggie leathers, the granola bars, all of this art. It's just practical good stuff the planes wouldn't have. And then when they are on the concourse, if you don't have what you need, well, the go picnics might be available, pretzels are often available, 100% fruit juices, bagels. So stocking up with, and I think the concourses in most airports are getting a little bit better about the foods that they're offering. I've seen a real shift in the last 5 years or so, a lot more healthy foods on the concourse for the athlete to be able to purchase for their trip. And then getting your athlete in the habit of eating breakfast. Travel aside, making sure they're eating breakfast, but making sure they're eating breakfast on the plane and just reminding them of all the reasons why. That it's rehydrating, you're refueling, you're getting your complex carbohydrates in, hopefully you're getting your fruit in, a protein source, and it will curb that overeating. So even though they might want to sleep through breakfast, getting them to be up to have that breakfast on the plane and up to have that breakfast when they first are arriving on site at the normal breakfast time. Even breakfast options on the run. Again, bagels, energy bars, yogurt drinks, peanut butter sandwiches, breakfast wraps, yogurt parfaits, just one item things that would minimally keep the athlete on track. And then adequate hydration. Again, on the plane, there's going to be a number of factors that are going to affect the athlete's hydration status, the air conditioning, the altitude, them being tired and not thinking to drink enough. Bring fluids with them. That's another thing to stock up on when they're in the concourse. Once you've gone through security, you can buy more water or you can have an empty container that you refill. Having those sachets of sport beverage with them as well. Thinking to ask for things like tomato juice. All of these things to stay on track with water. the 1 cup of water per hour. And then any of these things can count towards water intake for an athlete or hydration intake. So when I'm going through an athlete's food recall, I'm asking about fluid and food, and I'm looking at all of these things and helping them see. And often half, maybe even two-thirds of their intake may be from other beverages that are hydrating. So it doesn't have to be just water. Ideally, we want about half of it in water, but a lot of our athletes are drinking energy-containing beverages. So even their dairy-based things like recovery beverages are going to be counted towards their water intake too. So all of this will count. 10 to 12 cup minimum off court, and then obviously their hydration on court being key. Gluten-free travel, these are just some examples of some actual products. I love the Crunchmaster crackers. That's a great local option here. Those are put in the Go Picnics as well. That's one of the product lines that they use. A couple of different international brands and websites to go to. I'm also going to show you a couple of apps at the end of the presentation for travel for athletes. And then just keeping in mind, gluten-free doesn't have to be as complicated as you would think. A lot of things are naturally gluten-free, from potatoes to rice to quinoa to black beans to the alternative noodles. So being prepared to ask for that, that's what a lot of international tournaments have on site as alternatives for athletes. But when gluten-free first got popular, and a lot of the top tennis players were doing this, they were going out grocery shopping and getting stuff, bringing it to the hotel rooms because they didn't have the option of getting gluten-free oats and having potatoes as backups in their room when they weren't able to get enough food. These days, I think most athletes can get these options at restaurants. We live in a much more gluten-free, friendly environment, but I always challenge the thinking behind that. Do you really need to be gluten-free? Or are you just thinking you need to be gluten-free? Is there any real sensitivity, symptomatic thing going on, like the bloating and diarrhea? Does somebody actually have celiac disease? I find when an athlete first tries this just for a faddish reason, they cut their carbs too low. They end up going way too low in their carbohydrate energy, and this is the gasoline for the athlete's body. So making sure they're choosing that alternative, and gluten is the wheat protein, so that's why I say the wheat alternative. There's a lot of easy ways to do that. And a lot of products now that will help you to do that as well. That Lara bar granola is gluten-free. Kind granola is gluten-free. So there's a lot of these other snack products and energy bars, Lara bars, Linda bars, that are also gluten-free. And then for the vegetarian athletes, some practical things to keep in mind, some vegetarian alternatives like chickpeas is a good protein. There are veggie jerkies, that's what that Stonewall jerky or Primal jerky. You may have seen this as the tofu-based jerky that Whole Foods sells. Raw food bars, again, there's a lot of different bars out there that are gluten-free, but the raw food are, vegetarian, but the raw food are vegan. So if an athlete's vegetarian, this is probably going to take a little more planning. This gets a little more complicated when you travel because there's less options available. So traveling with a lot more staples to keep yourself on track and have core foods available. Searching out ahead, what are the vegetarian restaurants close to the tournament or the hotel that would help the athlete meet their needs. Packing that cooler, getting that athlete ready for maybe 5 or 6 feedings for that day. That's really what sport dietitians recommend for athletes, tennis players, that they're eating 3 meals, 3 snacks. So do we have enough food for the athlete as they're heading out to the tournament, particularly if you're working with an athlete at a local tournament and you're helping them coordinate food and there's not food service at that site. So you may have to pack the meals for the day, the snacks for the day, the sport foods for the day. You've got a good list, I think. In fact, what you see on my newsletter is a draft of what the USTA is going to be turning into a card that's going to be available for player development for players. We're probably going to modify it just slightly, but that's kind of a draft that I came up with for them to use, that the full cooler list of carbs, proteins, hydration sources, and sport food ideas to pack in your cooler. So that's what you see here. And some reminders about how much to be drinking before, during, and after matches. I think there's any, just a couple, I'll hold up these little portable tuna, and these also come in chicken salad. Cracker kits are great. The Sabra, it's not on the previous slides, but I didn't really emphasize it, the Sabra pretzel hummus kits are great. I think those are very practical. And then, of course, salty grain snacks that come in small packages. This would even be something that I call a racket bag food. So from crackers to pretzels, having the athlete have this, I think those are just as beneficial on court with a sport beverage at the changeover as an energy bar, because they're very easy to digest, they're bland, they're salty. That's really what we want our athlete having on the court. So racket bag foods, and I'm not pushing 100 calorie packs, but they are portable, they travel well, they give the athlete a reasonable portion size. And Goldfish has these little pretzel Goldfish that are not colored, that are not as processed. And then sports bars. This gets a little confusing. Those of you who've heard me talk before, this is something I always want to hit on. There are kind of three types of sport bars out there, in my opinion, by composition, and familiarizing yourself with what your athlete's using and making sure they're using it in the right way. So the high carb bars, like the original Clif bars, original power bars, these are like a bagel in a bar. So these are going to be best for the athlete before they play. This could be part of the breakfast, part of the pre-match snack. The moderate protein might need a little more digestion time. To me, these are kind of like peanut butter crackers in a snack. So from Luna bar to Balance bar to Zone bar, a lot of the, I'd say, more popular bars on the market fall into this. So they're more like a peanut butter crackers in a bar, so they could be consumed an hour or two before play, immediately after, because they have a little bit more protein and fat. And then high protein, and there's been, I think, an increase in these on the market. Gatorade has a great bar. Cliff has a great bar. We're looking at 20 to 30 grams of protein range. So that's like a piece of meat in a bar. I like to say a chicken sandwich in a bar. So we got a little bit more density there. It's going to take a little bit more time to digest. That's better in the recovery. So also, if you're working with athletes around just training in their normal day-to-day basis, that's something that would be better for them to have after the workout versus before the workout. So understanding the sport foods, helping your athlete position those appropriately. They may need all three types of these for travel. So they may need to know what already works in their system and be taking those kind of products with them. And then other things you may help the athlete pack. Gels are very popular on the court, being used at the changeovers along with sport beverage. So the salty electrolyte, carbohydrate, maltodextrin squeezes. We encourage athletes not to use, or players not to use, the ones with caffeine. Chews, Gatorade has a great chew, Clif has a great chew. So these are more like gummy texture, but similar composition to the gels, can be consumed. Both of those, you just want to keep in mind, it's not a standalone at the changeover. You want your athlete using that with water, but these are things that you want to have your athlete pack and take with them. Beverages, and you may have your athlete during travel taking beverages and little sachets that they can mix into the water bottles. The saltines, pretzels, crackers kind of thing is also very appropriate on court, maybe even better than an energy bar. And then salt packets. So we take these salt packets in our training room. I know USK does the same thing, ATP. So for an athlete who's a heavy sweater, putting an extra salt packet into their sport beverage may be needed, and or even into water. I like the new Propel unflavored that's got salt already in it too. That's another example of a product that's already out there that's similar to that. So getting that extra salt made for the athlete who's cramp prone, they may need to travel with those salt packets too. And then recovery issues. Packing wise, the athlete may need to take or get, when they get on site, chocolate milk. I strongly encourage chocolate milk. WTA and ATP at international tournaments has this. It's one of the first things that athletes see when they walk in the training room or the locker. It's one of the things that's right in there besides the sport beverage, not necessarily this brand, but whatever the local chocolate milk is. That's a great immediate recovery choice. Maybe that paired with a carbohydrate source like the pretzels, a recovery beverage, this popular one, the Gatorade recovery beverage. Something like this with a Grady-type snack, again, would also be a good recovery choice to do, and you wanted to get that in within 30 to 45 minutes after play. But again, does the athlete have these tools? A big piece of my presentation today is these, all these are going to make sure the athlete's packing. Are they getting all these things in? Most of them are not. Or having that homemade sandwich or getting a sandwich right away. So all these things are things that you're going to want to shop for as soon as you get to your location, or make sure you're taking with you. To make sure the athlete can recover quickly, so either to plan another match and or immediately the next day. And then food safety. You want to make sure that the athlete is aware to stay with bottled water, to watch out for tap water. Keep in mind, ice cubes come from tap water, so if there's questionable water supply, then you would be at risk using ice. You want to be careful about that, making sure that the athlete is consuming only sealed bottles as well. So checking out the water supply, and I was just asked to review water for a Canadian tournament, and the water had a little bit higher mineral content. So just kind of checking out things ahead of time and making sure it's a safe water option for the players. And then you have this also on your my newsletter, but this is something that's out there. It's been put out by the WTA, by the USTA, the hydration urine chart, the best way for the athlete to be checking how well they're staying hydrated, even in flight, again, get them to be paying attention to this, is what color is their urine. That's one of the best ways to assess where you are, and the lemonade-colored urine is really what we want the athlete to be doing, like that number two on there, and also having them kind of check this through phases of travel. So that's one of the best ways to make sure that you're on track with that one cup of water per hour. Weighing every morning, a lot of hotels have scales. The athlete can check and see if their weight is shifting. This is looking at hydration from day of practice and play, but it's also helping them see if travel is affecting the weight, the dehydration that could occur during travel. So checking the weight each morning. I often have athletes check their weight before and after they practice and play so they know what their sweat losses are like in the new environment too. And then a few other things with food safety, watching out for foods that would be served slightly uncooked. I have a cute little story in China, it's my first time in China, and I go to the restaurant because they don't speak English. No one speaks English where I was in Wuhan, and I went to my first authentic Chinese restaurant. I was so excited, and I wanted to get dumplings, and so I ordered the dumplings, and I didn't realize I was going to cook the food. So when they brought me the big bowl of boiling water, I was like, no, no, I don't want that. So they took it away. So they brought me my dumplings. They were raw. I took a bite, and they were raw. And so I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, stir fry, can somebody cook these? The whole language barrier thing too, when you're trying to communicate about what you want food-wise, is something to keep in mind as well. So watch out for that, the raw food issue, the sharing of things that, where you might be passing bacteria, dairy products, acidic foods that the athlete's tummy is already on edge because of the new environment. We want to keep the diet bland and safe. So things like spicy foods, acidic foods, high caffeine foods, all that's going to be rough around the tummy. Again, the bottled water, well-cooked foods, raw veggies and fruits. I had an issue in the Dominican Republic where I got a bug right away because I was eating some of the vegetables and salads in a resort, but they were washed by that water supply, which wasn't safe. So you want to be cautious on that as well. Cooked vegetables are always going to be your best bet. And then this traveler's diarrhea that happens because of what we were just talking about on the previous slide. So washing your hands before you eat, making sure that you, again, use the sealed bottles, avoiding the ice, drinking cool liquids. Sometimes a carbonated beverage can settle the tummy down. Watching out for the salads, peeling fruits, being careful about buying fruit in the local market, staying within that safe hotel. A lot of the hotels are also screened for food safety and safe water when hotels are recommended by a tournament. Making sure that you're eating only cooked foods, watching out for the buffet foods that may not be kept at appropriate temperature, so that cooler part of the buffet may have a higher bacterial risk. And then once you have a problem, eating bland. So things like bananas and melon, and here's where white bread, where you might be like, white bread, that's not good for me, but white bread is bland and really calming to the tummy, and white rice is calming to the tummy, and white potato. So then you might think, oh, that's not as healthy. That's actually a great choice for an athlete. It calms the tummy down. This is where probiotics come into play. The WTA recommends probiotics for their players when they travel, particularly the first week or so of travel when you're going into a foreign country and not used to it, the food supply. Ginger kind of calms the tummy down, a natural herb that would be helpful. Again, plenty of fluids if you're losing fluids, electrolyte fluids, even Pedialyte is something to think about. Traveling with the sachets of Pedialyte can help the athlete replenish electrolytes beyond what a sport beverage would do for them if they're losing more electrolytes through diarrhea. And then the probiotics are key for keeping the gut healthy. It also helps with not only gut health, but respiratory health. And WTA has a formulary that we use with these sauna nutritionals. And they have a probiotic, but there are a lot of good products out there. I also think drinking things like kefir or the Dan Actives are a good way to kind of keep the gut healthy, just as a daily food choice, particularly in the States. But there are a number of other foods that have that healthy bacteria that is going to be good for the gut and strengthen the immune system of the gut. So you have a lot of good examples here. And then I'm going to show the WTA formulary in just a moment, but we have a little probiotic, almost like a little sachet that the athletes put right into a water bottle that they use once a day. So upper respiratory infections seem to be on the rise when athletes are traveling and playing or competing at a high intensity. Just the exercise itself overstresses the body and may suppress the immune system, so it's easier for that athlete to get possibly sick. And key nutrients that we've been hitting on, making sure they're fueling well, that they're getting good fresh fruits and vegetables, 100% natural bottled juices are a good way to get that vitamin C. We also offer for the WTA players a vitamin C sachet that gives them 500 milligrams of vitamin C that we also encourage during travel if they're starting to get an upper respiratory infection. And glutamine and amino acid that helps with the immune system can also be helpful. And then a couple of studies that Mark turned me on to that are kind of interesting with soccer players, showing when athletes travel over multiple time zones, greater than a 5-hour time zone difference, that seems to be associated with higher respiratory infection and GI illness incidence levels. And then in another study, and I've got these references at the bottom and maybe hard to read, but I can get the references for you if you're interested. When athletes were put through a similar kind of research set up for a 24-hour flight, international travel versus a domestic flight, they had a control for a domestic flight. They did performance measurements with intermittent sprinting and saw a decrease with the 24-hour, the international travel time zone kind of setup versus the shorter domestic flights not having that decrement. So just being aware that your athletes are going to be more worn down, more prone to illness, and doing everything we possibly can to pump the hydration and nutrition to help them minimize the side effects, because it's potentially going to happen. So the WTA provides a full formulary for their athletes. One of my roles in working with the WTA is to meet with each athlete and see what supplements they need. Two of the most popular supplements that we get asked for and that the athletes need are the probiotics and the vitamin C when they travel. They are offered, if needed, a multivitamin, a multimineral, calcium, an omega-3, a vitamin D if blood work warrants low vitamin D status, and iron if blood work warrants low iron. And we are looking at a melatonin. So for this very thing, for jet lag and helping the athlete address the time zone changes and the tiredness that they would have with travel and the trouble sleeping. So this is an example of the current formulary. A lot of the players are on the formulary. Not everybody does it, because some people have their own brands that they feel comfortable with in their countries, but we've got 150 players currently on it, a nice chunk out of the top 10 and top 20, and we offer dietary services at a lot of the major events. We're about to offer it again at the US Open. That's one of our big distributions. So I'll meet with athletes who want to newly be on it, assess their diets, determine what an appropriate dosage would be based on their dietary intake. Of course, we're focusing on them improving their food intake as well, not just focusing on the nutritional supplements, but one of the realities of travel is the athletes not meeting their nutritional needs. They're not getting everything, even at the top of the game. So we can imagine the junior athlete is definitely behind the ball and may benefit from, obviously, the nutritional consultation, but they may need the safeguard of a vitamin to help them meet their needs. I love this visual. Altitude, I just had a couple other little things in here as we're winding down. May also make the athlete more tired, higher altitude. I always am hearing at the tournament here, the BB&T, which is going on, when the athletes are coming from Bogota, that they struggle with the altitude and there's a lot more of the dizziness and GI symptoms. So again, they're going to need more hydration, they're going to need more iron-rich foods to get their body ready for that higher altitude. Stress, higher carbohydrate and they may need to make sure that they get there a little bit ahead of time to prepare for that, to have the body not have the side effects of the altitude. And then I'm going to finish just my last few minutes with just some real practical stuff that you have for local travel. The second page of your handouts is about just healthy dining out. So if we're trying to help the athlete stay on track when they're traveling for tournaments here locally or within the United States, keeping in mind basic dining out tips that you want the athlete to be staying on track with: overall, more whole grains, lean proteins, getting a veggie in, possibly getting a fruit, maybe that's an alternative for a dessert or a fruit beverage, drinking plenty of water, getting extra water served at the table because your servers will definitely do that, watching portions. In America, that's a problem, a little bit more of a problem than it is in other countries. Making sure that you're picking healthy choices, from how you order it to ordering lower fat sides, cooked veggies without sauces, sharing dessert, watching out for those heavy creams and toppings, and obviously watching out for fried food. Just got a few things highlighted here, but you have this on the handout too, so any kind of grilled chicken entree. Pizza would probably be a better recovery choice, so the tomato base is good for salt. The starchy part is good for the carbohydrates. Pasta dishes that are in tomato sauces as well. Steamed Chinese, which means steamed without all the heavy sauces, you can get that put on the side. And then just some substitutions to keep in mind. Ask for the low-fat dairy. Cottage cheese might be available on a salad bar. That's a great potato topping. Yogurt might be a mayonnaise option. You might even travel locally with a butter spray if you don't want some heavy butter. Broth is a great way to get in sitting, but a good alternative to oil, egg whites for egg yolks, baked chips versus the regular chips. Those are at most sandwich places now. Good ethnic choices. Again, the pasta with tomato sauce, maybe half portion. Don't really have to have a roll. Now, if I've got a 6 foot, 160-pound male, I might say he needs the roll. But if somebody's watching their weight, they may not need the roll. And with Mexican, best bet is fajitas, soft tacos. Watch out for all the extra fats that potentially could come in with that. Cheese and avocado and chips. Again, we may not need the chips if we've already got a good base of rice and beans and soft tortillas. Salads. I have a lot of females on the tour and young juniors that I'm working with that think salad is a meal. And a salad is not a meal unless you've got your lean protein and your starch with it. So are you putting black beans and corn on the salad? Are you getting a baked potato on the side of the salad? Do you have the protein on the salad? Do you have that lean meat? We do a lot of education on this. We are very focused diet-wise in the U.S. about salad meals being the female meal, and it's really not adequate enough for most female tennis players, in my opinion, unless you balance it appropriately. Women do not live by salad alone. Best fast foods, grilled chicken, sub sandwiches, salads that do have the topping, like the Southwest kind of salads, or getting a baked potato to pair with that. Look for the sliced fruit and baked chips. And then my last slide here is on technology. The jet lag genie can help you calibrate your sleep patterns. The food spotting helps you find places that you can go that would potentially meet your needs, special needs. Open Table, a lot of you may know about that. Allows you to find restaurants worldwide. Websites to keep in mind: Happy Cow, that helps with the vegetarian restaurant choices. Additionally, a couple of local places in the U.S. for fast food and other restaurants. So help our athletes stay on top of their game by helping them prepare travel-wise with adequate hydration, managing stress that comes along with that, the time management, the nutrition on the road, packing the right steps to help our athletes bring home a win. That's my little reference on my notebook if you're interested in any more handouts. And then you have my brochure. You're welcome to contact me if you all have any questions. If you need help with an individual athlete or a travel issue, I'd be glad to help you. Thank you for